I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Back from Florida. At least three of us are back from Florida. Jason said during the break, he saved, I guess he does all his DVRing, a lot like me. Most of my shows are Sundays and Mondays, but he does all this DVRing. And that he has five shows to watch today. Five.
No, he needs to catch up.
Now, I was actually jealous. Cakes yesterday goes, ooh, I've got Homeland to watch. And I was jealous because I actually did watch it live on Sunday night before we went away. But I was kind of envious that you had something to, like, turn to. Did you watch it?
I did watch the episode, yes. I enjoyed it.
Jason hasn't watched it yet.
Not going to spoil anything.
Spoil it.
Yeah, I've got to watch Homeland. I've got to watch... I watched a little bit of The Walking Dead. I got to watch the rest of The Walking Dead.
Right.
I didn't see the end. I've got to watch The Shy. I believe it's a season finale.
Okay.
And then I've got to watch The Alienist, and then I've got to watch McMafia. Got five shows.
Is The Alienist worth checking into?
It's pretty good. It's
what do you like better, Alienist or McMafia?
I like McMafia better. The Alienist is set in the late 1700s, early 1800s.
I can
no, no,
deal
I'm sorry,
with the period
1700s.
Piece.
I think it's late 1800s.
It's EB that has a real problem with the period pieces.
It's about a serial killer.
Yeah.
And these guys are trying to track him. The acting's really good. It's a good story. It's pretty violent.
Mm-hmm.
But McMafia is modern, and it's all about Russian terrorists, and that's a good show, too.
I don't know how you're going to do that with match play starting at 11.
I know. I've got match play,
wow.
too. I've got to make my daily bets on match play.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a busy day.
It's a busy, busy day today.
It's a busy Monday/Thursday.
And right. Is match play from Punta Cana?
No, it's
no.
From Austin, Texas.
Oh, you were talking about Punta Cana before. I assume match play
there's
was.
Another tournament in that Tony Romo is actually playing in. He's got a sponsor's exemption. He's going to be playing with our boy Denny McCarthy today.
Very nice.
But Tony Romo is going to be playing that. But there's two
I
different tournaments.
I lumped in the golf talk.
Goff.
All right, open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show. Another thing to kind of throw out there, if you like, is the NFL draft, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. It looks like there's been talk that the top three picks are all going to be quarterbacks. We don't know which quarterback's going to go number one. Sam Darnold, I guess, had his pro day, and he got a lot of attention because he chose to do the pro day even though the weather wasn't optimal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't throw at... the combine,
he
right?
He did not.
No.
Personally, Sam Darnold was on my college fantasy team.
Right.
He kind of disappointed. But personally, I think he has the best potential.
We'll see.
Probably go Darnold one. But
we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, if you really
depends
want to. I can't take Josh Allen. They say he's inaccurate and he played at a nub school.
Right.
It depends on who you're talking to. Some people love Mayfield. Some people love, like Ryan Clark did his little rankings yesterday on ESPN. He loves Mayfield. He loves him over Rosen and Darnold and Allen. And then some guys love Rosen at one overall. They think he's the most ready. Some people love Darnold.
Darnold, to me, looks like the best pro quarterback. Like, prototypical. He's got the size. Looks like he can play in the system.
He does have
Baker
size.
Mayfield, I just wonder, because he's in that offense where everybody thrives. I'm not saying he wasn't great.
Right.
But
didn't work out of the shot or out of the, under center a lot, if ever.
That's a tough adjustment when you're coming to the pros.
Yeah, so it just kind of depends. I mean, all these guys are question marks. They're all question marks.
Yeah, there are no surefire guys to pick number one overall.
Who knows if it's going to be a draft day trade, you know, where someone moves up to one because they really like one of these guys. Does Cleveland just take Sam Darnold? Who knows?
Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067.
Let's go to Cole in Alexandria. He wants to talk NFL draft. What's up, Cole?
What's going on, guys? I saw a mock draft recently, and I looked at the Steelers, and they had them picking Lamar Jackson in the first round, and I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
A little tricky.
Sit behind Ben.
A little tricky.
But maybe he's a developer.
I assume you're a Steelers fan.
Yeah, I don't really think that Lamar Jackson is a good fit for that offense and what they run.
Yeah. The thing about Lamar is he's just so fast, and he just dazzles you with his like natural ability, but he did not have a really good year throwing the ball last year. And we talk about Josh Allen, his accuracy issues. Well, Lamar Jackson had the same ones.
Right, and unless he improves as a passer, how long is the running portion of his game sustainable? Yeah. I mean, we saw it with RG3 here in D.C.
But he's a spectacular athlete, and maybe he can get better. But I don't know. It kind of depends on what you want.
All right, guys. Really appreciate it.
Right,
thanks,
buddy.
Man.
See you.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many different mock drafts have you seen?
I mean, just so many.
I mean, they're everywhere.
Every site has one, and they have multiple leading up to the draft.
Correct.
They're going to have, you know, like one probably every week now heading up to the draft in April.
Jason,
I'll keep updating it.
Yes, sir.
A couple pro day tidbits.
Yep.
They say that Josh Allen on Friday is going to try to throw 82 yards in one throw.
Wow.
And I guess he's going to try to, because he's told people he's thrown over 80 yards before in practice.
I can believe that.
He's going to try to show off his deep arm.
But again,
also,
I don't care if he can throw an 82 yards.
I know, but
can he hit a receiver?
For some reason,
can he hit him 20
do.
Yards downfield? Can he be accurate?
Don't we already know he's got a freaking bazooka for an arm?
He throw the ball at the length of a football field?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. He's got one.
He can do it a Hail Mary.
But can he hit an open receiver?
He can do a Hail Mary from the 20-yard line.
Can he hit an open receiver?
Right. I mean, how often do you throw up a Hail Mary? It doesn't happen a lot.
All right, what are the other two?
And the other
got?
One is you mentioned trading up. Apparently, every single coach from the Arizona Cardinals was at Darnold's pro day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and where is Arizona's pick in the first round at this point?
I think it's down by like where the Redskins are, 14 or something like that.
I think it's
15.
15, yeah, 15.
Right now, all they have is Bradford, right? Bradford and Mike Glennon, I believe.
Mike Glennon
signed as a backup.
Yeah. I think they're both one-year deals, though.
Yeah. Hey, are you sized at the...
I think Sean told me it was a two-year deal for
Glennon. Drab, you're a Seahawks fan. Are you sized that the Seahawks are kicking the tires on Terrell Pryor? Oh.
I get a little bit sized.
Yeah. You like the raw talent.
What can go wrong? I mean, you buy low. You're not going to give him any money. Seahawks are doing a rebuild.
Yeah, they'll keep his deal low and load it with incentives. And they just have to hope he's healthier than he was here in his bust year in D.C.
This time last year, every person in D.C. was sized for Terrell Pryor.
A lot of oohing and aahing for Terrell Pryor.
A lot of one-handed catches in training camp.
A lot of people getting duped by social media.
So I'll get on board.
That's what that was.
What do you think? Do you think that Cleveland trades the one pick? Do you think they stay at one or do they trade out?
I think they're going to stay at one.
They don't have to. Unless if somebody comes to them with an offer that's just crazy, that's even bigger than the one the Jets packaged to the Colts, I could see Dorsey at least listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows they're not gonna win in the next couple of years. So if he can stockpile even more picks and he's not crazy about Rosen, Darnold, or Allen, I could see him moving out of that spot. Absolutely.
Well,
but if he's sold
crazy
on Darnold, he's gonna take him number one.
They weren't crazy about Carson Wentz. They blew that. They weren't crazy the year before. Who was drafted that was really good? Or maybe it was Wentz a couple years ago. And then last
Deshaun
year it was
Watson.
Deshaun
Watson.
Yeah. I mean, they got
but a lot of teams passed on Watson. It wasn't just the Browns.
Okay, well, they should all regret it.
Sure.
Well, bottom line is they need a quarterback. And maybe they're not super high on any of these guys. But I guarantee they like one of those guys to lead their franchise for the next 10 years.
Take the guy you like the most.
Yeah.
Period. You can't afford not to, in my opinion.
Danny Hurley's taking the UConn job, 6-year deal. We had heard that he may take the Pitt job. Pitt was definitely interested. I don't know if Pitt actually made an official offer.
I think Pitt was offering more money.
He takes UConn. I don't like that.
All right, so you certainly can talk NFL draft.
UConn's
we were talking about.
It's a poo conference now. I mean, the travel's terrible. You got to go to Tulsa. You got to go to Wichita. You got to go to, where else? They go to Houston.
Right.
I mean, there's no real rivalry. I mean, I don't know. I would have taken Pitt.
We could talk NFL draft. You can talk about UConn if you like. Or the Washington Nationals, which we were talking about earlier. Do you think they get over the hump this season?
Let's go to Duke in Frederick. What's up, Duke?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, I watch you guys on the TV station, NBC. And after watching you, I interviewed the Nats players and all. I think I root for the Nats this year. I'm an Orioles guy because I'm
you
grew up
for the
in
Nats
Georgia.
Somehow.
Oh, really?
I also don't root for the Skins.
So you're going to switch?
I'm a Ravens fan.
Hey, Duke, how old are you?
I'm 58.
58. What do you do for a living, Duke?
Actually, I got diabetes bad, and I recently got, declared disability.
All right.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, thanks for watching us, buddy.
All right, I guess I didn't make it to the air, did I?
No, you're on the air.
You're on.
You're fully
on. I'm watching you live.
You're talking
I'm watching you live.
A lot of noise. A lot of background noise. Starting to tilt me a little bit.
Let me mute my TV. Hey, man, and by the way, I hope EB gets better.
We do, too. We hope
you sound healthier
well.
Than Eric.
he's a cool guy, but he's too much on the skins, man.
Yeah, he loves the skins.
He's blinded by them.
I don't know how cool he is.
If EB's patient zero, Duke is patient one. He's right there with him.
But I think that about a lot of Skins fans. They're like blind to the facts. I don't know. They live in a fantasy world.
He's a bit of a homer. Duke, how many cigarettes have you smoked in your lifetime?
Well, you really want me to tell you?
So you were a big smoker.
But my voice had a very deep voice. I've hated my voice as long as I could remember.
But you're not still
anyway,
smoking, are you?
Actually, I am.
You better stop that, bro.
He's got diabetes. No. Just
he's
this close to a voice.
Yeah,
box.
Now, you know, don't slam me when I'm done and make me a punching bag, man.
I try to
quit, but it's tough. I've been smoking a long time.
All right.
Hey, Duke, you want to call back in and host the EP?
Yeah, I'd like to debate a little bit with EP, to tell you the truth. Hey, guys, thanks for accepting my call,
you
man.
Got it, buddy.
Thank you, Duke.
And you know what? I'm even like, I can be cool with you guys. But then I was watching it live. So I've got this recorded because that's how I watch every morning. One time I caught like at 10:30.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Hey, all right, man, I love listening to you guys. And I'm a recent fan. I just
Oscar
started
music.
Watching you. Like,
hold on, are you a Ravens
fan? Like
Oscar music.
Yeah, that don't hang up on me.
All right, Oscar music. Thank you.
I thought KC Radio would start your call again. That's one of my favorite bits. I missed what you were saying.
Oh, I love that bit.
We don't do that
Can
bit
you
nearly.
Repeat it from the beginning?
We don't do that nearly enough.
You know what? Oh. I like this better.
I like that too.
Yeah.
But I like the start it over bit.
Every once in a while.
Yeah. Got to weave it in. Wherever
Duke is my favorite caller.
Got to make it organic. All right, open live Thursday. You want to chime in? 800-636-1067. We will talk some Caps coming up at 8:40. Jay Beagle from the Capitals right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll talk to Jay Beagle from the Washington Capitals coming up in 20 minutes. Capitals in action tonight against the Detroit Red Wings, who are not very good anymore. And their next four opponents after that, also non-playoff teams, so maybe they can get on a nice streak, get hot heading into the playoffs.
The Metro is getting very tight. I believe 5 points separates the Caps and the next three teams. The Pens, the Blue Jackets, who are on fire, and the Flyers.
Mm.
It's going to be tight coming down the stretch.
So
exciting.
Right now, they've got a 2-point lead now on
over
Pittsburgh.
The Pens, yeah.
And Pittsburgh won last night.
Correct.
And who is Pittsburgh playing someone poopy? I thought you said, oh, you know what? Tampa's playing the
Tampa's
Islanders.
Tampa's at the Islanders. And I know you're going to be all over the over three and a half goals bit.
It's tough when you have to go over 3.5. If it's 2.5 or 3, I love it. But 3.5 is a little bit tougher. Yeah, but I probably will. Because the Islanders give up 100 goals.
And look at Tampa's goal differential, too.
Yeah, they just kill teams.
Yeah.
I thought about bringing back the Donkey of the Week segment, which we haven't done in a while, because of this story I'm about to read. And you certainly on Open Line Thursday could call in with the Donkey of the Week. This story out of the UK. A man died, this would be a Donkey of the Week Hall of Famer, after lodging his head in the footrest of his electronic seat at a movie theater. The accident occurred March 9th at the View Cinema Complex, at the Star City Entertainment Complex. They announced the man's death a week later. According to the paper, the man had dropped his phone and was trying to retrieve it between the theater's gold class seats at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The three gold class rooms, as they're called at the complex, offer a fully licensed car and are only available to attendees over 18. After he bent down, the reclining electric seat's footrest clamped down on the man's head. He was attending the film with his partner, reportedly became frantic as the man started to panic upon realizing he was stuck. Staff and other patrons at the cinema struggled to free him, but eventually broke him out of the entrapment. But then he kicked the bucket a week later.
I've attended many movies at Regal Cinemas in Rockville, and they have reclining seats, and that's the new trend. Like, if you don't have reclining seats, you're being left behind in the movie game in 2018. But I've never managed to wedge my head in the mechanical portion of the seat. Like, how does that even happen?
He's retrieving a cell phone.
I just don't get it. I still don't understand
you know how it happens.
He's a donk hoffer. Hall of Famer. That's a Hall of Famer way to check out. And it's sad, but...
Do you remember the first ever Donk of the Week Hall of Famer?
I think I do.
The first ever inductee?
I'm pretty sure I remember.
Was it the dresser?
It was the woman in Florida who got stuck behind her armoire.
Yeah.
She got stuck upside down.
Stuck up. She was... I don't know if she was... unplugging something or reaching for something, and she got stuck behind the armoire, and she was there for 2 weeks, and they found her.
Can you imagine the smell?
No, I can't imagine it.
I smell like EB's hotel room. Okay, I can only imagine the smell from there after what's been going on last 24 hours.
I wonder if the maids had come in there yet. You think they've come in there in the last 2 days in his room?
No, you put up a do not disturb.
Just leave them out.
I would assume. But he might need some new towels. Might need some shampoo. Poo.
Some toilet paper from the sound of it.
He definitely needs toilet paper. 100%.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Your chance to steer the show on Open Line Thursday. Jay Beagle's going to join us. And Chris Nocke coming up at 9:20 as we talk NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we're going to
Let's go to AJ.
So many tournament calls today on Open Line Thursday. I don't know what to do with myself. People are
jacked up for the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'm the only person who cares about the tournament. I'm convinced of it.
What's up, AJ?
Maybe Valdez.
I care more about match play today.
Yeah. What time does that start?
10:55.
Okay.
What's up, AJ?
Yeah, hi. I just want to get your guys' opinion. Looking at one of the latest mock drafts, and they actually have the Redskins at 13 picking the wide receiver out of Maryland, DJ Moore. And I kind of thought, I know they need
that's
receivers.
That's a wackadoo mock draft. I've never seen anything like that.
Is that the Valdez mock draft?
I mean, everybody has a mock draft. Look.
I think Jason has him going undrafted.
I would be shocked, more than shocked, if he was drafted number 13 overall.
He really improved his status at the combine, but I would be stunned if he went. I'd be stunned if he went first round. Maybe late first round.
13's a reach.
Yeah, the 13. Well, the funny thing is, at 19, they got the Cowboys picking Ridley out of Alabama. So I figure if the Redskins are going to get a receiver, I mean, don't you think Ridley is far more NFL ready and DJ Moore?
I know DJ Moore
improved a lot.
His numbers were better than Ridley's at the combine. That's the only thing.
I think, especially with
what hack mock draft are you looking at?
Yeah, who knows?
Where did you find this?
I just think with signing Richardson,
Terrapin Times.
Right.
I think when you sign Richardson, that takes a first round wide receiver off the board.
I'm telling you, the Skins are going to take a defensive guy. Either it's going to be a defensive lineman or it might be a DB. They're not going to take a receiver at 13. Especially
I don't think they're going to go DB. It seems to me that they have enough corners.
They might.
They drafted Moreau last year. They just bought Scandrick.
There's some really good DBs coming out. You might be right, though. I would say they
maybe
go defense.
Maybe James, the safety out of Florida State. You pair him up with Swearinger and hope that you have your safety spots locked up for a few years.
But you guys are sleeping on Sua Cravens returning.
I'm sure. I'm sure he's reliable.
So are the Skins.
Yeah. They're desperately trying to just ship him off for anything of value.
No, I think they actually want too much value for him. At least from what I've read, they're grasping at a third-round pick for Sua Cravens.
Wow, then they're bigger idiots than I thought. Mm-hmm. And I already thought they were pretty big idiots running the front office. They'd be lucky to get a sixth-round pick for Sua Cravens at this point.
This is going to be a crazy draft. Just with those four or five quarterbacks coming out of you throwing Lamar Jackson. And teams probably love some of those guys, and they might want to move up. I think it's going to be crazy.
You know, teams like the Colts just stockpiling picks with their deal with the Jets. The Bills have a bunch of picks in the top, I think, 60 or 70. Mm-hmm. So they could try to move up and pick a quarterback, because is A.J. McCarron really your long-term answer? I mean, he's signed for 2 years and $10 million. That's just that's nothing these days in the NFL.
Yeah, what if he plays well? He might play well.
We'll see. See how it pans out.
But I would be surprised. But I just think the top of the draft is going to be nuts.
Yeah.
Is someone going to go after Barkley? You know, if they really love Barkley, or does he stay there at four and the Browns take him at four? But there's so many question marks.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Skins do. But like the caller said, I don't see any scenario where they pick a wide receiver at 13, whether it's DJ Moore or Calvin Ridley or anybody of that ilk.
By the way,
based on what Moore did at the combine, because his vertical apparently was crazy, he was just better than Ridley in a lot of those tests. So I think he'll go higher than most projections.
Yeah.
But I can't see him going 13.
By the way, according to a story in Sports Illustrated, Johnny Manziel is going to be throwing to receivers at the pro day workouts at the University of San Diego on Thursday. Underclassmen can't throw for pro day workouts, so graduating prospects and former players are the typical players called upon to throw during the workouts if a quarterback isn't part of the school's pro hopefuls. So Johnny Manziel has worked his way in. He's going to be seen by NFL scouts.
Is anybody going to take a chance on him?
No, he's set to play in the spring league.
a lot of buzz on the spring league.
Well, you know, the XFL is coming back, and then I saw there's a rival league coming back to play against the XFL.
There is?
Yes.
There are going to be two spring football leagues that nobody's going to care about?
I think that's more of a summer. Maybe it's spring. I'm not sure. The XFL was, I think, 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, they know they have a lot of work to do, so they pushed it down the calendar a full year.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your gut, though? Number one, Cleveland goes Darnold, your gut. Yeah.
Assuming Cleveland stays there, doesn't trade out. I think they'll go Darnold.
Cakes?
Just based on everything that you've read in the last couple days, they probably really like him. They like the way he worked out. He's 6'4". He's got a big gun. I mean, I don't know. There's just a lot of question marks about all those guys.
Darnold seems like the safest pick, and unless Dorsey's overwhelmed by a trade package for number one, if, say, Buffalo is desperate to get up to number one, I think he picks Darnold.
Now, Kuiper's always had Josh Allen number one on the board. On his board.
Yes.
Loves his size. Loves that arm.
Loves the arm.
Loves the 80-yard pass kicks.
I think he has
the history of the concussions.
I think I think he's got even higher upside possibly than Darnold. But he also, I think, has more bust potential than guys like Darnold and Rosen.
But he probably feels like
he
could end up being a Carson Wentz type player who, yes, he didn't play in the big conferences.
Right.
But he has that raw ability, and if he's coached well, he can thrive.
He does have a strong arm, man. I mean, all those guys pretty much do, but Allen is just way above all those other guys in terms of the arm strength, from what I saw.
I think John Elway might have a chubber in his pants for Allen to fall down to where they pick. Are they fifth overall, the Broncos?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he'd love to see Allen still there, but who knows? Somebody might grab him before then. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tom in Warrington. What's up, Tom? You're on with the Junks on an open line Thursday.
What's up, guys? Got a survivor question, survivor pool. I can only use team in the tournament once. I've already used Michigan State and West Virginia. So who do I pick this round? A little dicey. Not very many big spreads, and I need to save some teams to go forward. Can only use each team once.
I'd go Kentucky. Right.
I go Nevada.
Well, hold on.
I gamble a little bit.
Are you taking a team per day or per round?
Per round.
Okay, so you need one team in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
And you want to save some of your big guns. I get it.
Duke. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Duke's going to win the whole thing, so I don't want to use them. But the spreads are pretty tight this round.
Kentucky.
I would say Kentucky's probably a good bet. Kansas State is really good defensively, but they don't put up a lot of points. I think Kansas over Clemson would be a good bet. I know you don't want to use the one seed there.
Yeah,
but what about just taking a chance and going to Nevada?
I was thinking about that.
I was absolutely thinking about that. I don't trust Gonzaga, and a little worried about, obviously, Kentucky. So I'll go with Nevada. All right, boys, appreciate it.
I think Gonzaga will beat Florida State.
Plus, you're zigging while everybody else is zagging. Most people probably won't be on the Wolf Pack.
Yeah, he might zig himself right out of the contest.
Now, that exists
or,
as well.
Or into the money.
That's true.
There you go.
Tom.
All right,
good
boys. Yep. Thank you.
Cakes was endorsing the Nevada pick. I can't go with that. He was going to go with Nevada, yeah.
Now, if Tom was smart, he would see Cakes is all in on Nevada and then just go pick Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. Fade your boy Flakes. That's always the smart move.
I think Gonzaga will beat Florida State, too, so he could go Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga just has too much offense for Florida State, but anything can happen. The trend in this tournament has been underdogs and unders. So,
that wouldn't bode well for Cakes, who likes overs.
Love overs.
God, I love overs.
Can I bet it on over today?
But you're still going to see upsets in the Sweet 16. It's just going to happen.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the Washington Capitals. They have the Red Wings tonight, still maintain a 2-point lead in the Metro Division. Jay Beagle joins us from the Washington Capitals for the Morning Skate.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're happy to be joined, as we are on a weekly basis, on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Jay Beagle for the Morning Skate. Caps are at the Red Wings tonight. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing well. Nice win over the Stars the other night. That's a team that has had the Caps number for whatever reason, like over the last like 15 seasons. I mean, just had a hard time beating that Stars club. You get a nice win and 2 points at home.
Yeah, I know it was a really good win. And, you know, it felt like a playoff game, which was, which obviously made it a lot of fun. And obviously getting the win and playing the right way, I felt like for 60 minutes was, you know, was good at this time of year to kind of get a playoff kind of game under our belt and kind of feel how we got to play, you know, going down the stretch. So it was good.
How much does Jay Beagle look at the standings now on a, if at all, on a daily basis? And how much do the coaches talk to you about where you stand in the Metro Division and kind of playoff positioning?
And Jay, when you look at the standings, I'm assuming you're doing it like in an old school newspaper. You're not doing it like on a computer or a tablet.
I was just going to say, it would have to be on a newspaper or something. But I don't actually look at the standings too much. We have them written up, you know, at the rink, obviously, you know, on our board. And so every once in a while when you're walking by, I'll glance at that. But that's maybe once a week, not too often. You know, obviously you hear the talk of what guys are saying and stuff, and you kind of – but I always try and just go out and do my thing and try and, you know, take it one game at a time. And I don't like to – you know, I don't like to really dwell on, you know, standings and, you know, what we have to do in the next week. I like to just try and make sure that, you know, I'm taking it one game at a time. And I think that's kind of the way the team looks at it, too. I'm sure, obviously, this time of year, though, guys are looking a little bit more just to see, you know, how it's going to end up. But our fate is in our hands. And so, you know, we got to make sure that this road trip, we you know, obviously take care of business tonight. And it's a big road trip. We got to make sure that we get, you know, these wins and set us up to be in first.
Joined by Jay Beagle from the Washington Capitals. Now, it doesn't necessarily affect your job, but it does seem like of late, Grubby has been the lead goaltender, and then Holtby seems to have fallen behind him. But Holtby's played well in a couple of wins here recently. What's your take on how the goalie position is shaken out?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's a great thing for us to, you know, have two goalies that are playing well. And obviously, you know, Grubby has stepped up big. That's a guy who, you know, didn't get many games the last really 2 years and, you know, started to get some games here in the last month and kind of getting a groove. And you know, Holtz is a guy who I think is the best goalie in the league. So, you know, it's always a good thing when you got two goalies playing great, and it looks like that, you know, that's what we got right now. And especially, you know, with these last, I think it's nine games left, to make sure that we, you know, have good, solid games in front of these guys, because I felt like, and I said this before on the show, that, you know, we've kind of left our goalies out to dry a couple games during, you know, in the mid-season here, where we really were relying on them to make unreal saves just to even keep us in games. So, you know, to make sure that we play solid games in front of them is huge coming down into playoffs and playing the right way these last couple games here. And having two goalies hot is a great thing for our club.
Biggs, you may not want to comment on this or answer the question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you guys were playing the Flyers game one tomorrow of a playoff series, do you think that Trotsky would go with Grubby or Holtby?
I have no clue. I mean, I can't even answer that. I mean, you know, I think you know, thank goodness I don't have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think, you know, if the playoffs started right now, I'd go with Holt. I mean, just because he's been our backbone for, you know, 4 or 5 years now of unbelievable goaltending. So a little rough stretch where, you know, he's not playing as well as he would like to doesn't define a goalie. You know what I mean? So no one's panicking here in this room. You know, so I would go with Holt, and then you always have, you know, Grubby, who's played unbelievable when he's come in. So, I mean, it's really a win-win.
How much is Coach Trotz stressing the fact that you guys need to win the Metro? We've referenced it already. It's very tight at this point. You guys have a 2-point lead right over the Pens. You have a 4-point lead over the surging Columbus Blue Jackets, because you want to avoid that 2-3 matchup in the first round. You want to draw the wild card. How much is the right coaching staff drilling into you guys? Have to win the Metro, have a game in hand on most of these teams, but we have to close strong.
Yeah, no, they are. It's been something that's actually been said, you know, for the last month. I think, you know, the coaching staff and us, we kind of see this coming. It's been like this all year, where it's been really tight in the Metro. Not a lot of give. And so for really a month now, he's been stressing a lot that every win and every game is very important, and you can't let, you know, any game slip and leave points behind. So, you know, obviously starting, you know, with this trip is big, and we got to make sure that we're getting wins and getting the job done. But they've been talking about it now for, you know, obviously all year you talk about it, but the last month there's been, you know, a lot of talk about it and making sure that we're ready for and prepared for every game.
Jay, it's kind of weird when you look at the standings and you break down the numbers. In the Atlantic, the top three teams, they just blow people out. The Lightning, Bruins, and Maple Leafs have goal differentials of plus 59, plus 54, plus 38. Then you look at the Metro, the Caps are a plus 12, the Pens are a plus 18, the Blue Jackets are a plus 4. Do you think the fact that you guys are playing, you're just playing closer games night in and night out than those teams, that kind of gets you ramped up for the playoffs early before you even hit playoff hockey?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's, you know, even just playing against those teams, you know, you could tell they're high offensive teams that were running gun. And, you know, yeah, it's weird. This year, you know, it's obviously shifted a little bit. I think in the previous years it was us with the huge goal differential, and now I feel like we're in the tighter games and learning to play those kind of playoff style games, which is, I think, really good. I mean, the more you play those tight games, those 2-1, you know, 3-2 kind of games, those are what you see, you know, in playoffs when everyone, you know, starts playing that really strong defensive hockey and starts shutting down those top guys. You win by one goal, and a lot of times it's hard to just even get one or two goals in the playoffs. So, you know, I think that's going to serve well for us.
Is the Metro a better division, in your opinion, than the Atlantic?
You know, I don't know. That's tough. I think so, but I'm not sure. I mean,
based on the points, top to bottom, there's better teams at the bottom of the Metro, because Buffalo and Ottawa are just terrible.
Right.
But I don't know how you feel about the top.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. That's hard. It's hard to judge. It's hard to judge that because. Because obviously, game in, game out, it's different. You know, I think it's two different style of hockey right now. Like I said, they are more high octane, kind of feed off those turnovers in the rush game, and they want to get in the back and forth kind of game. And right now I feel like the Metro is more of a kind of playoff style hockey grind, almost like kind of a, you know, how the West kind of plays, more, a little bit more heavier teams, you know, and play that kind of grind it more style hockey. And so I don't know which is going to be better. I guess only time will tell.
What's up with Columbus winning 9 straight?
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that, you know, always kind of, I feel like they always kind of do this toward the end of the year. They always make that push, and you know, they're playing really good hockey right now, which makes it good. I mean, it makes it like it's been all year, really tight in the Metro, and makes us have to play our best hockey going into playoffs, which we haven't had to do, really, you know, in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. We've had such leads going into playoffs that we could, you know, you don't want to back off, but you kind of back off knowing that you have such a lead, and you kind of almost want to take a little bit of a rest or a breather before the playoffs start, and I don't think that's the way to do it. I think from learning from the last couple of years, it's the teams that are playing their best right now, and figuring out how to play playoff hockey right now, you know, that go into playoffs strong. And so it's, you know, that's the way we got to play, and it's forcing us to play that way, which I think is good for us.
Jay, it's kind of strange to look down the standings in the wild card and see the Red Wings just languishing with 65 points or 17 points out of the last wild card spot. They're dead in the water. The 1-8-1 in their last 10. I mean, this is a proud franchise, but this is going to be their second year back to back where they haven't qualified for the playoffs. Talk about, you know, going in there and you're facing a wounded animal. They're still a proud team, but they just can't seem to get things going. Talk about the road test tonight at Detroit.
Yeah. It's going to be a test. I mean, the coaching staff and, you know, everyone who puts the scout together, like you said, you know that this is a proud group. When things haven't gone your way and when you miss the playoffs again, guys are fighting for jobs for next year, and they're looking, you know, for next year. And so a team like this is obviously dangerous just because you don't know what you're going to get, what kind of team you're going to get. And they obviously were all very competitive. And in a situation like this, I mean, they're sick of losing. And so usually you get a team that's playing kind of loose, but also playing hard, you know, and playing kind of like every game is kind of a tryout, obviously, for next year. And so, you know, that makes for a dangerous team. And we got to make sure that, you know, we go in and just play our game and play to our system and go after these 2 points.
Caps 42-24-7 have the Red Wings tonight, still maintain a 2-point lead in the Metro. Best of luck, Jay. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
It's our guy, Jay Beagle, as I've mentioned a couple times on the show today.
Nicest guy in the world.
Yep. Their next 5 opponents are non-playoff teams.
I know what I'm watching tonight. Watching Caps play the Red Wings.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'll check in on the Sweet 16.
I'll be watching,
watching the tournament. Yeah. By the time we get to tournament time. We will talk more tournament, though. Coming up at 9:20, our pal Chris Nockey, Maryland Terrapins color analyst, will join us. So we'll get into that. But next, it's going to be Cakes' entertainment page right here on the Junkies.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.